Someone wrote, it is amazing how much wisdom we realize our parents have when we leave the house. Is that right? At age 4, my parents could do anything. At age 8, there might be one or two things they don't know. At age 12, naturally, my parents don't understand. At age 14, I never realized how hopelessly old-fashioned they are. At age 21, you would expect them to feel that way. They were so out of date. At age 25, they come up with a good idea now and then. At age 30, I wonder what mom and dad think I should do. At age 40, let's be patient until we discuss it with our parents. Age 50, what would mom and dad have thought about it? And age 60, I wish I could talk it over with them just one more time. It's amazing. It's amazing for me how much smarter my parents got the older that I became. Is that a true statement? In most cases, I've lived a very good life. God has really blessed me. I have very, very few regrets. But I do have a few things that I would change if I could live life all over again. Number one, I would have married my wife sooner. Let's hear, aw. Number two, I would have honored and obeyed my mom much, much more than what I did. And number three, I would have let go of anger and resentment and hatred a lot quicker so that it didn't fester and didn't affect me more than the person that I hated. Hopefully, I've redeemed myself with my wife after 41 and a half years of marriage. I have done that. Yeah, see, she affirmed that. But, you know, I can never make amends to my mom, who sacrificed tremendously for me and for my brothers. And if I only would have worn that white shirt to my wedding instead of the one that was kind of pink, disturbed her a lot. If I only would have worn that, I would have honored her and she would have enjoyed the wedding. And I don't know why he didn't do that. If I only had done more around the house to help her. If I would have only called her more on the phone. Just called her more often. If I would have just spent the time with her that she deserved. If I would have only spent time with her when she was in the hospital with a stroke before she passed. You know, I feel so badly that I didn't give her more when she gave me everything. And she sacrificed so much for me. Why is it that sometimes we don't keep in contact with our parents? Why is that? Why do we do that? Let me tell you a story. On her 60th birthday, a woman from Brooklyn decided to prepare her last will and testament. She went to her rabbi to make two final requests. First, she insisted on cremation. What is your second request? The rabbi asked. I want my ashes scattered over Bloomingdale's department store. Bloomingdale? Why ever Bloomingdale's? The rabbi said. Then I'll be sure that my daughters will visit me twice a week. I'm so happy I've had so much time with my dad. You know, my dad passed away this year at age 91. And I certainly was able to redeem my time with him, to spend time with him on the phone almost every week, especially in this last 2 weeks of life. But you know what? You just can't redeem the time, or I can't redeem the time with my mom. And I'm still saddened over that situation. There were other times of my regret, like I mentioned before, where I harbored anger, resentment towards certain people. Times in which my anger turned to hatred and a murderous heart. Anybody ever have that? Yeah, a murderous heart. A heart that was blackened and wanted to do something or some bodily harm to somebody. To get revenge. I want my revenge. I want satisfaction of being done in or being betrayed. Thank goodness these times were few and far between, and today I really don't harbor that form of hatred any longer towards anyone. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I'm just entreating you to think about our next two commandments. And today is Family Sunday, and we continue with our series on the Ten Commandments to follow what the children's been learning. So actually, the two commandments we're going to talk about today is the fifth and sixth commandment, which the children have been studying. So I call this message, Honor Mom and Dad, and Murder He Did Not Write. And our scripture comes from Exodus 20, verses 12 through 13. And won't we turn to that? Exodus 20, verses 12 to 13. Why don't you turn to that in your Bibles? And before we do it, we have had no earthquakes this week, and we have had no hurricanes. So why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, it's a great day to study God's Word. Why don't you say that? Amen. Okay, let's go to Scripture and read Exodus 20, verses 12 through 13. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this sanctuary, we seek you out. We run to you, Lord, to search how we should live this life here on earth. As we review your commandments, we know that they were made to protect and provide for us. Help us to apply them to our lives. Help us, Lord, to have more of you in us and less of ourselves taking over our thoughts. So, dear Lord, I ask that you take away any anxiety I have of preaching your word and just fill it up with you. That every word I speak comes from you. That your spirit will be here in a miraculous, dynamic way. That we can sense your presence as we study your word. We study your rules and your laws so that we can live longer and have a happy life. So we lift this day up to you. I lift this message up to you. Just ask, Lord, one more time for your presence to reveal to us something that's special. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I've said this before, and I'll continue reviewing this every time we do a sermon on the commandments, is that the commandments were written, or the foundations of the commandments were written to protect and provide for us. It wasn't to harm us, it was to keep us from harm. And it's based on a love relationship that God has with us. No different than a love relationship that we as parents may have to a son or daughter, that we give them roles not to constrict them, but to keep them safe so they can have a happy and prosperous life. No, God's the same way. Matter of fact, he's better. Same way and more better. It's interesting, the first four commandments are the commandments all about him and our relationship with him. So the first four commandments are vertical. And then the next six are horizontal. And that's where we start here with commandment number five. Kids, commandment number five, do you know what it is? You can speak it out. What is it? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks, Joe. Okay, and what's the sixth commandment, Joe? Yes, did you notice he didn't even look up there? Yeah. I got to give him a star. That's the two commandments we're going to cover today. We ask ourselves, why, you know, why honor mom or obey dad? Why? Why do we? Because they love us. That's good. That's a good answer. Joe, do you want to preach up here today? Will we live longer, Joe? Yeah. We will live longer. Don't you like that? We will live longer. So, number one, why do we honor mom or dad? It's because we're given a promise that we will live longer, and that these things will, that things will go well with us in life. Deuteronomy 5:16 says this: honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And I've told this to my son over and over again, and it's something I really preach well to him. I tell him the same thing Bill Cosby told his kids: I brought you into this world and I can take you out. The truth of the matter is, parents have some good advice. Do your parents have good advice for you, Joe? Right. And it's advice to protect us, to give us longer life. Advice like don't run out in traffic. Huh? Doesn't give you longer life if you don't run out in traffic, if you obey your parents? Well, that's what I'm talking about here. And the other thing is, we're so old, we have experience. Because we've walked out in traffic. Haven't we, folks? We have. We've done some dumb things that we've learned from. So we ask you kids to listen to us, because we have a certain wisdom from our past experience. We don't want the same things to happen to our children. And like I say, they, like God, we as parents, like God, we want life to go well with our kids. How many parents here want life to go well with their kids? Okay. Yeah, that's why we worry. That's why we fret. That's why we're anxious, because we want life to go well. Isn't it great that God has a commandment covering that? Yeah, listen to mom and dad so life will go well with you. You won't have to fall into those traps that takes you away and that shortens your life. And shortens the way you live life. Live life to the abundant. So there's an abundant life out there for us to live. Creativity, riding on the copper land or hiking or cross-country skiing. There's life to live. Is life to live. So that's the abundant life that God wants for us. And he wants us to obey him so we don't fall into the traps of the world. Why else? Because it's an expression of holy living. We do it because God wants us to live a holy life. So how do we live a holy life? We live a holy life by being obedient to our parents. Here's what Leviticus 19:1-3 says. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. It doesn't mean that some of us haven't had some bad parenting. I'm sure there are those of you that have. Does it mean you still disrespect them? Does it? No, it doesn't. So how do you handle that? Well, you handle it with respect. You handle it balancing how your parents taught you against how God wants you to live your life. God doesn't want you to go out and rob a bank because your parents told you, because it's against man's law and it's against God's law. Does that make sense, folks? Yeah. So we got to look at that balance of respect, yet drawing our holy boundaries. There's boundaries and limits that we can draw as far as having bad parenting and saying, you know, I don't have to go there because God doesn't want me to go there. So being holy, part of being holy is to respect our parents and to honor them. Number three, honoring our mom and and dads is add respect for old age. And I tell that to my son and daughter all the time. So you adults with older parents, honoring your mom and dad is a form of showing respect to them, respect for their age. There's a Grimm's fairy tale. I know why they call Grimm's fairy tales, because they're always so grim. That's a true statement. Listen to this one. Once upon a time, there was a very, very old man. His eyes had grown dim, his ears deaf, and his knees shook. When he sat at the table, he could scarcely hold a spoon. He spilled soup on the tablecloth, and beside that, some of the soup would run back out of his mouth. His son and his son's wife were disgusted with this, so finally they made the old grandfather sit in the corner behind the stove, where they gave him his food in an earthenware bowl, and not enough at that. He sat there looking sadly at the table, and his eyes grew moist. One day, his shaking hands could not hold the bowl, and it fell to the ground and broke. The young woman scolded, but he said not a word. He only sobbed. After that, they brought him a wooden bowl and made him eat from it. Once, when they were all sitting there, the grandson, 4 years old, pushed some pieces of wood together on the floor. "What are you making?" asked his father. "Oh, I'm making a little trough for you and mother to eat from when I'm big." The man and the woman looked at one another and then began to cry. They immediately brought the old grandfather to the table and always let him eat there from then on. And if he spilled a little, they did not say a thing. Sometimes we're respected by our kids from the way we respect our parents. And we could be treated by our kids the same way we have treated our parents. But parents, I also need to challenge you that to gain respect for your children, you need to be respectable. You need to be honorable. 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 You need to be able to be honored. You know, we gain respect. We gain honor. We don't take it. We don't just think that it should be done. So I entreat you parents, if you want your children to listen to you, spend time with them. Honor them. Respect them. Pour into them. Teach them. Above all, love them. And don't be absentee parents. Do not be absentee parents. Anybody here, has anybody here heard the classic song, The Cat's in the Cradle, by Harry Chapin? It's about a dad who refused to share his attention with his young boy, especially as his son was growing up, and idolized him. His son just idolized him. And here are the last few verses. "And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, I came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?" He shook his head and he said with a smile, What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? When you come home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired, and my son moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you, if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My son was just like me. Parents, if you want honor, we got to pour into our kids. That's our next generation. Kids, honor your parents. They love you unconditionally. They'll cover up a lot of your boo-boos. They'll kiss you on the forehead and they'll give you hugs. There's nothing more valuable than that. So they deserve your attention, your respect, and your honor. Second commandment, you shall not murder. I want to tell you that I've struggled with this because of comparing Jewish law to today. But I'm going to try my best to explain it as I read it and as other commentaries have put it. This commandment, many times it says, do not kill, but the word used there is resach, which means murder as much as kill. And it probably means murder more so than kill. And according to priestly code, killing anyone with a weapon or in unarmed combat was considered resach. And the code even includes accidental killing as a form of resach. And the Bible never uses the word resach in conjunction with war. The Hebrew code prescribes a death penalty for people that commit resach. It's hard to condone death, the death penalty. It's hard to condone murder, yet the old Jewish law did set up rules to protect the fallen human being. And they're very serious about it. And here, let's just cover some of the Hebrew laws that they had back then, just to see why they had these laws and how fair they were to the justice system, or within the justice system of the nation of Israel. Number one, God did not write that murder was okay in the case of unlawful deaths. Numbers 35:16-18 says this: if anyone strikes someone a fatal blow with an iron object, that person is a murderer. The person is to be put to death. If anyone is holding a stone and strikes someone a fatal blow with it, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. If anyone is holding a wooden object and strikes someone a fatal blow with it, the person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. So basically, there were rights and wrongs, and there were rules within the Jewish race that said murder was not right. Murder, again, is premeditated, in this case, premeditated, usually done against somebody unjustly, and done in anger. There were also consequences for accidental death. Let me read this to you from Numbers 35:22-25. But if without enmity someone suddenly pushes another or throws something at them unintentionally or without seeing them, drops on them a stone heavy enough to kill them and they die, then since the other person was not an enemy, hear that, was not an enemy, and no harm was intended, the assembly must judge between the accused and the avenger of blood according to these regulations. The assembly must protect the one accused of murder from the avenger of blood, and send the accused back to the city of refuge to which they fled. And that's a lot of words, but what that is meaning is basically, within Israel, they had cities of refuge, where if you unintentionally killed somebody, you could be in that city and be protected by the avenger of blood. Now, the avenger of blood is the avenger of the bloodline. Someone kills my brother unintentionally, I have the right to seek an eye for an eye. I would chase after them. But in God's system, he set up a city of refuge. That city of refuge would hold this individual, the perpetrator, until there was a court hearing and that they can judge whether it was intentional or non-intentional. If it was unintentional, the person is considered innocent, but to protect that person, to keep him from the avenger of blood, they stayed in the city. They stayed in the city for a long, long time. I'll tell you how they get released from that city. But so accidental deaths, again, were called, were considered seriously, but God had a place of refuge for those individuals so that the avenger of blood, a cousin or brother, wouldn't seek them out and kill them. There would be a place of protection. Number three, in the Jewish law, they did permit death in certain situations, and that is, there were those deaths where it was capital punishment for an offense under the law, but it was dealt by the nation and not necessarily by individuals or vigilantes. It was a law. It was done within the courts, within the justice system, no different than what we have today. Number two, there were lawful deaths as far as those that were caused by self-defense or defend themselves by intruders. But they were cautious there, which meant if an intruder came in with no malice and was stealing something, it would be murder to kill him. But if he came in there with a weapon to take from you, then it would be okay, to protect yourself. Justice system makes sense, doesn't it? And number three, those deaths caused by war. So when they're in the heat of battle to keep evil from spreading, that was allowed to cause death. You could kill somebody. You can kill somebody. Why do I say this? Because we get so wrapped up, thou shalt not kill, that means maybe we shouldn't go to war. Well, if it's a just war, or if you're protecting your country, Israel's law would say, yeah, of course. Of course you can do that. But in most cases, it was a government and God's law which exacted the punishment. It was not for a man himself to exact the punishment. And that's the way it is with the New Testament, too. Within the New Testament, it's not for man himself to be a vigilante or for man himself to go out and arbitrarily kill somebody. That's just not God's law. That certainly isn't in the New Testament. So that kind of wraps it up. Does that make sense to you? I mean, we hear this over saying that the Bible's contradictory. Well, I don't see where it is contradictory. I don't see where our Christian faith is contradictory. So I think there's a balance in this. But even the justice system within the Jewish nation, it was fair. It was really fair and it was very just. And God wrote those out. Okay, so that's what I have to say about the six commandments. And I think the caution is, watch what you do. Guys, let's go to the next slide, Gary. Yeah, watch what you do. How many when you were kids got the magnifying glass on the ants? Come on, guys. Okay, messed up. Yeah. Well, let's not put it on human beings because we got to check out our back then. So, let me wrap this up simply. And that is this. We're in the New Testament law, not the Old Testament. And we're in the New Testament of forgiveness and grace. You understand that? We're in the new law under forgiveness and grace. And even Jesus says that if you have a murderous heart, you might as well have committed murder. Because he's a God of grace and God of mercy and a God of forgiveness. We need to know that. We need not be so smug about thou shalt not kill. We need not be smug about that. Here's what Robert West said in his book, The Ten Commandments Then and Now. Many people think they have kept the sixth commandment because they've never murdered anyone. Yet Jesus reminded us that the definition of murder includes unjust anger, which can result in verbal abuse. Thus, everyone is guilty of hidden homicide and is in danger of judgment. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to the city refuge. Let's think about this. The city refuge. You're there because of unintentional death of somebody. But you're there to be protected. But you're there and you cannot go home. And so you're assimilated into that city. And the city's to teach you a trade and work within there and be productive. There was only one way you could get out of that city and go back home. Do you know what that way was? The way was a death. Get this. The death of the high priest who was anointed for that time period. Does that make sense? When the high priest the national high priest died, the one that was anointed as high priest died, you were set free to go home. Isn't it coincidental that Jesus was referred to our high priest in Hebrews? Isn't it coincidental that he died on the cross for us? Isn't it coincidental to know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life? Isn't it coincidental that Jesus is called our Redeemer so that we may escape this life and go back to the property he gave us in heaven? Don't you find that phenomenal? Aren't you interested that the Bible just makes so much sense? Now, and that murderers like Moses and David and Paul have right standing with God right now because of Christ's death on the cross. Boy, you got to say amen to that.
Amen.
And if we have a murderous heart and we can hand that over to God, we're set free too. And we're taken out of that city of refuge and protection, and we're guaranteed an eternal home with him. Boy, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? It doesn't get any better than that. So we can be redeemed. Our murderous hearts can be redeemed. And it was Christ on that cross that did the redemption for us. The Holy Priest. Yeah, the Holy Priest. So, in closing, let me say this. No matter your past, God has sent his Son to redeem you. To be the high priest who died so that you can escape this refuge of life and come home to be with him. His commandments give us guidelines to live a better life until the day we will be with him. Is that great? Right now we're in his hedge of protection so we can live a better life until we're home with him. So I ask you, what about you? Have you not only honored your parents, but also honored your Father God? Have you done that? Do you sometimes have murder in your heart because of what someone has done or said to you? Do you have that? And maybe it's time to lay down your life so that others may live by observing, so that they may observe in you the mercy and grace that God has given you with his Son's death on the cross. Let's live life. Let's accept this Savior so that we have no regrets. Absolutely no regrets whatsoever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I think we begin by honoring you as our parent, our Father God. And we come to you just praying, Lord, that we grasp hold of this freedom that you've given us and grasp hold of you protecting us and giving us that city of refuge here on earth. And that help us understand that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us to be that high priest so that we would be set free, so that we will be able to come home to you and be with you. Help us, Lord, to obey these commandments. Help us, Lord, not to take them lightly. Help our children to know this, Lord, and I just ask that every young man and woman in Sunday school just hangs tight to these commandments so that they will live longer and prosper. From the bottom of my heart, Lord, you know what comes next. I'm going to ask whether anybody is ready to ask Christ into their life. Whether there's somebody here that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day saying, Lord, I don't want this murderous heart anymore. And I don't want to be mean. I don't want any strongholds over me, including good or bad parents. Help me, Lord, to go forward with you. If you're ready today, here's the prayer. The prayer is, Lord, I just repent of my sins I just want to walk away from them. I just want to have a new life. And Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior to have a city refuge now and be taken home in the future. That's the prayer you say. And if there is anybody who's not been, has not accepted Christ as their Savior, maybe today's the day. And if you said this prayer for the very first time today, Lord, I repent of my sins. I want to leave them behind, and I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior and make that commitment to you. If you've said that for the first time, I'd like to know. I'd like to ask you to put your hand up and right back down. Put your hand up and right back down. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you how the Old Testament matches up with the New. We thank you for your justice system. And we thank you, Lord, that about the mystery that you died on the cross just for us. Why you would do that, we don't know. But we praise you and we thank you. And we come to you, Lord, just asking that you will help us live the life that's prosperous, that brings more people towards you, and that we will always be before you, honoring you and just living life to the fullest. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.